Thank you very much. Good evening, church. Good evening, church. It's really a joy to be able to be here, and I want to thank your pastors and your vicar for their kind invitation for me to be able to share God's word with you this evening. And before we begin proper, I just want to invite you to look into your bulletin and pull out the sermon outline that has been provided for you. And if you have that, I want to encourage you to follow me. Could you wave it at me if you have it? Yes? Thank you. I want to encourage you to use this to follow me as well as on the PowerPoints that are provided. And I want to encourage you to take notes. Taking notes is a good way to follow better, to learn God's word better. And sometimes when something jumps out at us, it may be the Lord speaking something to us. And by taking it down, we always remember better the promises and the word of God that He has spoken to us. So as we look at our text today, verse 4 of the Bible text tells us these words. And I'll put that on screen for us. Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up. This is an incident of a man named Zacchaeus. He's living a life of sin that takes him far away from God, and I'll cover that in just a moment. But he had a hunger, a desperation, a search for something. And Jesus, the perfect representation of God on earth, with so many things to do, so many areas he has to oversee, suddenly stops in his busy schedule. And he looks up at Zacchaeus. He looks into that hunger. He looks into that desperation. You know, I was visiting a school once as a school pastoral counselor. I saw a young boy eating his lunch in the canteen. He looked like any other student involved in school at recess eating his lunch. But as I looked for a moment, there seemed to be a look of sadness on his face. And so, you know, I sat down and I asked him how he was coping in school. He told me about school, the routine, the things that he's experiencing. And then he looked down and said, "My parents are going through a divorce." And in the moment, he shared with me his sadness. And I prayed with him and tried to encourage him. You know, sometimes we use the routines and the common things of our life to cover up a deep need that is in our hearts. I know someone who is so driven for his work in his company. He built his own company. He built his own factory. In fact, he was given awards for his work. But he has struggled with something deep in his life. He has remarried 3 times. He has fathered children from all the marriages. And he has brought much pain and heartache to his siblings as well as to his parents. Deep down inside, in a moment of sharing, he said, "I really just want to be successful. I want to be successful. I want to make my first 5 million. It's so important to me," he said. You know, friends, there are people all around us, young and old. Sometimes, you know, they may be doing very well on the outside, but deep down inside, there is a search for something. What do you do when you have many things in life, but you feel empty, tired, and restless, and you're searching for something? The Bible tells us that when Zacchaeus was like that, God stopped. God gazed into the situation. You know, the words "Jesus looked up" in the original Greek language of the Bible refers to directing your gaze at something, giving it your full attention. It's for as if God, for that moment, as Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus, for God, all things don't exist at that moment, only that thing. His eyes are upon our hearts. And I believe God looks into our hearts today. You know, some of us, we live our lives where in some parts of our lives we ignore God. Or in some parts of our lives, you know, we may be running away from God. Some people we know may be totally antagonistic towards God. They hate God and are against Him. But the Bible tells us, while we were yet sinners, while we were enemies of God, God reached out to us. And here in this text, Jesus, the perfect representation of God on earth, looks at Zacchaeus. And I want to share with you this episode of this perfect representation of God in Jesus Christ. just participate with me a little bit, as ask you some questions, you know, and just help me to kind of get familiar with you as well, and they'll help me to be able to share God's word better. How many of you here watch Korean dramas? Can I see your hands? Korean dramas, so quite a number. How many of you watch Singapore dramas? Singapore dramas, well, very few. So I feel quite sorry for the Mediacorp people. Yeah. How many of you watch the Marvel and DC superhero dramas? Anyone? Wow, quite a number. Okay, that's really good. You know, interesting. You know, when you watch these intense episodes, you kind of get a sense of what the character is like. I mean, if you watch the Arrow series about Green Arrow, you will know that in that series, many people who die become alive again later on as another character. You know, that's what happens, you know. Or if you watch Flash, the series, you see that he works so hard to bond people as a team. So these are different things you pick up if you've been following some of these dramas. But here is the drama of the perfect representation of God on earth in Christ Jesus. And in this episode, we get to see how God really sees. We get to feel how God really feels toward us while we are still sinners. And today we want to look at the character of Zacchaeus. You know, and we may think, you know, I'm not like Zacchaeus. I'm not a sinner. But I want to encourage you that in many ways, we may be more like Zacchaeus than we think. Don't get stumbled by this phrase, we were sinners, because that really applies to all of us, to you and to me as well. And as we look at the Bible today, I pray that we will learn lessons from it that we can apply to ourselves so that we can grow in the Lord. Amen? And that's something very precious. And perhaps to apply to some people whom God brings to our heart and our minds, who may not be here today, but you know they need the Lord. Friends, if there's one thing on earth that will make a difference for us for eternity, is that we learn to see as God sees. To see as God sees. Let's ask God to open our eyes, the eyes of our heart, so that our lives and our loved ones may be changed. Let me pause here for a word of prayer. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to open our hearts. Father God, we want to commit this time to you. We just want to, even right now, just invite your Holy Spirit into this place to open the eyes of our heart. Help us to respond to you. Help us to come to know you. As we sang in that beautiful hymn just now, that the Word of God is so rich in its resource that we can mine for ourselves. I pray you will make your Word alive to us this evening. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thought I want to share with you is that while we were yet sinners, God sees the needs covered up in our lives. While we were yet sinners, God sees the needs covered up in our lives. In this episode, Zacchaeus was a rich and powerful man. Look with me at verse 2 as I put it on screen for us. Verse 2 tells us this: a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. You know, the title chief tax collector is a title given only in this story throughout the Bible. It meant that Zacchaeus was in charge of a district with other tax collectors under him. In today's language, he would be in upper management. He would be a director of his company with other people under him. And his tax collecting business was doing well. The Bible says he was wealthy. You know, when the Bible says someone is wealthy, that person was really wealthy. And the region that he was in Jericho. Bible commentators tell us that Jericho was a prosperous region at that time. So this man was not only doing well, he was very rich as well. But not only was he rich, he was a go-getter, he was an out-of-the-box thinker as well. Look at me at verse 4 as I put it on screen. This is what it says: so Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. You know, a sycamore fig tree is like a short oak tree with a squatty trunk and wide branches. It really allowed him to climb up and climb out to the edge to have a good camera angle on Jesus Christ. Now, don't mind me referencing this, you know, but I remember when I was visiting St. Andrew's Cathedral sometime during the F1 race. You know, they had the F1 races around, right? And I noticed that they had covered up every fence around this area. Do you remember that? Right? They blockaded everything, and I assume it was to prevent anyone in the church from viewing the race. right? If you wanted to view the race, you have to go and buy that $2,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 seat on the grandstand so that you can see the race, you know? So every fence and every gap, every window was covered up so that no one else except those who purchased those seats could see that race. Now imagine, you know, if, with me, if you will, if someone managed to climb up to the high tower of the church somewhere in the belfry and managed to find an angle that he could see the race, he set up an interesting mirror of some kind so that through that mirror and through the angle, he could watch the entire race from that window, from that angle. And in fact, he was so daring that he put seats down there and sold those seats to his friends at an exorbitant price. Now, okay, it's just an illustration. Forgive me, I don't mean to offend you. And I'm not giving you any creative ideas for fundraising either, okay? All right? But if this were to happen, you would say this person is so daring, creative, a go-getter. That's Zacchaeus. There were crowds that day, taller people than him, blockades, possibly security. He could not see Jesus, but he created his own bird's eye view of Jesus by climbing up a sycamore fig tree. And Zacchaeus proves himself that he's a creative problem solver who would not let things get in the way of his goal if he wanted it. Maybe that's how he ran his business. Maybe that's how he became the chief of tax collectors, the only title given to a person in the Bible, and he was rich. Yet all these things were a cover-up for the deep needs in his life. Verse 3 tells us that Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not. The words "wanted to see Jesus" in the original biblical Greek language has the connotation of a person trying to strive, to seek after something, to investigate. In fact, it's the same root word in Greek as a very familiar verse, Matthew 6:33, where Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." It's that same root word that is found here. Zacchaeus was seeking to look for Jesus. And that's why the Message version of the Bible puts it this way. Zacchaeus wanted desperately to see Jesus, but the crowd was in his way. He was a short man and couldn't see over the crowd. You know, the person I know that I shared about earlier, driven about his company work, receiving awards, but marrying three times with children, I sat down once to talk with him, and I shared with him, because you have not had a father figure from young, there is a hole in your heart. And you've been trying to fill it with marriage. You've been trying to fill it with success. You've been trying to fill it with a big company. But that hole is not going to get filled until you find the perfect father, the one who created you and wants to enter into your life. And as he listened to that evening, he was so attentive. His whole body posture was drinking in every word as if it touched a deep need. Do you know people who are very talented, successful in their fields, maybe a very strong go-getter, but deep in their lives, they are searching for something deeper than what they have? Are you yourself driving for many things in your life, seeking after and pursuing many things, but deep inside you know these are not the answers that would truly satisfy for the long term? Zacchaeus had all these things, but it was a cover-up for the deep needs in his life. Now, for some of us, maybe we know someone like that. Maybe we have a loved one, a family member, or a colleague that we know that they are so successful on the outside, but deep down they are hungering for something. And if you want to see them as God sees them, then in reaching our loved ones, we need to discern the needs of our loved ones and focus on praying for them. We need to discern the needs of our loved ones and focus on praying for them. I want to let you know that whenever there's a block to God, there is a deep need. Whenever there's a resistance to God, there is something deeper that is happening. And God wants to tell us about it. We may not know what our friends are struggling with, but God wants to speak to us if we will take the time to listen to Him. A second thought that I want to share with us this evening is that while we were yet sinners, God sees the urgency of coming close to us. Look with me at verse 5 on screen. On screen, verse 5 says this: "When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. You know the words, come down immediately, you know, connote that haste and urgency. And Jesus goes on to say, I must stay with you today. And that phrase actually in the Bible's original Greek language again has the implication of conveying God's will, God's desire. So to paraphrase what Jesus was saying, Zacchaeus, connecting with you in your house today, this is God's will, and I must fulfill it. Friends, God has a sense of urgency to connect with you at your deep needs, to connect with the deep needs of your loved ones. You know, a father was so frustrated with his daughter. She was partying late into the night, having all kinds of friends over. She was not disciplined in her work. She was not disciplined in the finances. The father finally said to her, why don't you have better values? Why didn't you go to church like you used to and learn to be better? She turned around and said to her father, you have not been to church yourself for the last year. You have no right to lecture me on this. You know, friends, sometimes we have a concern for our loved ones, and today you may have a concern for your husband, your wife, you know, your children or your parents. But the person that God first wants to connect with deeply is you, to touch you in your heart. He wants to come close to you with urgency. And there's a need for us to respond to God, because it's not only about us, it affects those that we love and those that we care for around us. If we keep delaying and ignoring God, there's a consequence not only for us, but for our loved ones as well. A couple I know used to know God so well. They were walking with God closely, and then they took a break from spiritual things. They said, you know, we're going to take a break from church and from serving for a while. And then they begin to slip away. They stopped walking with God for years. And now their marriage is struggling, and they've even reached a point where they have so much doubt in their lives. When they talk to me, they would say, you know, is God really real? Does God really exist? And you know, just a few years before that, they were so passionate for God. They were serving with God, and they were following after God in spiritual things. The husband was even a leader who experienced the touch of the Holy Spirit in earlier years. And I feel that if they had not taken that break from church, from service, if they had not let it slip, many of the things that they were going through could have been avoided. And sometimes it's not just we who get affected when we take a break from passionate obedience to God. Our loved ones, our children, our family members who look to us, who are inspired by us, they may also be affected. You know, sometimes we think, I don't have the time to look to God now. Maybe when I get married or have kids and settle down, then I'll come back to God. Or sometimes we think, Pastor, you don't understand how hard my work is, the amount of pressure I have. I need to have a breakthrough and really do well and earn my salary well first. And then when I'm older and more established, I'll get back to God. Friends, the gospel of Jesus Christ requires a response. And every decision, yes or no, to the gospel has consequences. Urgency is required because opportunity is not always open. Hearts do not remain the same. And God wants to connect with us urgently, very much. And Peter in the Bible puts it this way. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, God isn't late with his promises as some measure lateness. He's restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. But when the day of God's judgment does come, it will be unannounced like a thief. You know, a father, I'll call him Tom. Tom once wrote to me and wrote this, Pastor Philip, please pray for my family's salvation. My two younger boys said the sinner's prayer with me last night after I explained the gospel to them. And I did it because I suddenly had a prompting upon my heart that I believe is from the Lord to speak to them. And I praise God that they responded. And now I'm speaking to my eldest son about the need to ask Jesus into his life. While meeting my sister on a connecting flight at the airport, I found an opportunity to ask my eldest son for a decision for Christ. I'm so convicted by the urgency to pray for my loved ones and friends. Pastor, please pray for them. Pray that as I invite them to the outreach event, all will be glued to hear the gospel. Friends, this is a testimony of a father who wants his family to grow up in good ways, in godly ways. And he knows that he must set the example himself to get close to God and to reach out to his loved ones. You know, as we journey closer and closer towards the celebration of hope, as was shared just now, I work in a consultancy that helps churches, and I work with a number of churches. There has been a palpable excitement towards the celebration of hope in many churches. And I believe that churches will, it will reach a point where churches all over the nation will gather together in unity, and that the spiritual atmosphere will change over the nation, over your offices, over your families. In fact, some of your pre-believing loved ones, colleagues, families, and friends may come up to you and ask you, hey, what is this about this video, you know, I see in the YouTube about celebration of hope? What is this brochure I got from someone else? You know, there will be a ripeness of an opportunity. And I hope that when that comes, you know, God will just open your heart to sense the urgency of God upon his heart, and you will seize these opportunities to reach out to them, to explain your faith, to share the gospel, and to invite them towards the celebration of hope. Some of you, maybe you've been praying for your loved ones for a long time and you've not seen any results. This could be the season where the rightness of the spiritual atmosphere could give that breakthrough if we open our hearts to the Lord. So I want to encourage us to remember the urgency on God's heart. Starting with ourselves, let's get back to the Lord and stay close to him. Help me do something, okay? Turn to someone next to you. Help me do something. Or we can kind of shake this place up a little bit, okay? Turn to someone next to you and say to them, there is no retirement from your relationship with God. Can you say that to someone? Okay. Then say this, there is no holiday break from your relationship with God. Can you say that? There is no break from walking with the Lord. Amen? And we truly want to walk closer and closer with the Lord every day. So if we want to see God's eyes, with God's eyes, the urgency upon his heart, then in reaching out to our unsaved or pre-believing loved ones, we need to look for and seize windows of opportunity. We need to look for and seize windows of opportunity. When God opens a window, a conversation, and I believe that you will get more and more of such windows because things are being seeded in the nation for celebration of hope. Remember that we carry God's love. We are God's representative. Let's seize those opportunities. A final thought I want to share with us is that while we were yet sinners, God sees our hearts despite labels put on us by people. God sees our hearts despite labels put on us by people. You know, a story was told of a salesman who sold an orange squeezing machine. He boasted that his machine could maximize every drop from any oranges and squeeze them until they are dry. In fact, he was so confident of this that to demonstrate his product, he challenged, if anyone can squeeze even one drop of orange out of these oranges after they have passed through my machine, if you can even one drop out, I will give him $1,000. Strong men came up to volunteer. Huge men, bodybuilders, giant-sized people came up and all put their effort, knotted their muscles to squeeze these oranges as much as they could. None, not one, could even get a single drop of juice out of the orange after it had passed through his machine. Then a thin, small man came up and said, I'll give it a try. He lifted two fingers. He gripped the orange, twisted and squeezed gently, and more than a few drops of juice came out. Shocked, the salesman had no choice but to give him $1,000 as a reward. And the salesman asked him, sir, what kind of work do you do? The thin man replied, I work in the tax collection department. You know, throughout Scripture, the tax collectors are labeled as sinners. They collected tax on behalf of the authority of the Roman conquerors of the land, and therefore they were branded as traitors by their own fellow Jews. And tax collectors during that time were notorious for collecting more tax than was necessary from the people, and they were considered cheaters. No wonder verse 7 tells us that all the people saw Jesus eating with Zacchaeus and begin to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Zacchaeus lived his life with a constant label upon his life because of the choices and the mistakes that he had made. Have you made mistakes in your life? Have you been labeled by family, by colleagues, Do you know people who have made wrong choices and because of that they have been labeled the black sheep? A friend of mine, Don Wong, was put into prison for heroin use in his younger days, drug use. He was put in prison at the age of 16. He went through 9 cycles of going in and out of prison. Upon the final release, when he came out of prison, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. At the time, it was in the 1980s, 1990s, a drug addict that just came out of prison, what future did he have? There was no yellow ribbon projects, you know, and such great projects that we have today. It was not existent then. And one night in 1995, he attended a Christian meeting, and there was a prophet visiting from the US. And as the prophet was praying for the people, he stopped in front of Don, and he prayed over him and said, "You must rise up to follow God. You will receive an anointing from God. As you follow His call, He will raise you up to speak to rulers." And the prophet paused for a moment and then continued, "You will speak to ministers. Yes, even your prime minister one day." Wow, you know, Don was at the time just out of prison, you know, ex-drug addict, you know, in and out of prison. Looked at this person in half disbelief, you know, saying, "Wow, you know, you prophets, you can prophesy all these things. After this, you fly back to US on your plane and we pick up the pieces, you know, trying to make sense of your words in Singapore." But Don's heart was in the right place. He served and grew to be a pastor, and then became the director of New Charis Mission, a halfway house for drug offenders. One day, a few years back, he was invited to the Istana. It was hosted by the Prime Minister. The invitees that day were mostly doctors, professors, politicians, lawyers. And out of the cream of the crop, they selected 3 people to speak to the Prime Minister. And Don, Pastor Don, was one of the 3 selected to speak to the Prime Minister. When his friend heard of this news, he said, "Don, you are so lucky." Don replied, "It has nothing to do with luck. It was a prophecy, a word of God from me, a word about how God looked at him." We see an ex-heroin addict 9 times out of prison, but God sees a pastor who will stand before the Prime Minister and rulers to reach drug addicts for Christ. The people saw a chief tax collector, a sinner, but Jesus saw a son of Abraham. The title, the son of Abraham, is reserved for the true Jews, people not only who had their lineage from Abraham, but they also walked in the footsteps of Abraham's faith. Moved and touched, verse 8 tells us, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount." You know, in the Old Testament law books of the Bible, especially Exodus chapter 22, verse 1, the law instructs the Israelites, if someone steals an ox or a sheep, he must pay back 5 times for the cattle, 4 times for the sheep. Those were the laws given to the Israelites. And here Zacchaeus, with no pressure, no compulsion from anyone, voluntarily of his own accord, you know, wants to pay back nearly the extreme payment of 4 times under the law for theft. He voluntarily fulfills God's laws to the extreme. And that is why Jesus says in verse 9, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." Friends, today, if you want to share God's heart and see the way God sees, we need to trust God and hope for responses of heart in the unlikely places. People who are the black sheep of your family, people you think could never change, people who have let you down again and again, and everyone says, "This person is like that, he will always let people down, he will never change." And yet to have the hope that though other people can't change him, God is the only one that can change the human heart. Amen? And we must have that hope to reach out with hope in this year. As we approach Chinese New Year, for those of us who do celebrate Lunar New Year or maybe even visit other people, as we connect with the people we visit, especially those who are not yet saved, those who not yet know the Lord, can we discern and pray? Can we look out for windows of opportunities? Can we be sensitive to look for responses even in the unlikely places? You know, I was driving to service just now, and I thought I would be late because coming out of my car park, there was a tremendous traffic jam because everybody was lining up to Salvation Army to try to unload old things. And there was a huge car queue, you know, of people just trying to offload. And you know, as we go towards Chinese New Year, people are clearing old things out of their homes to create space maybe for the good new things that would come in the New Year. And as we approach this Chinese New Year, maybe it's time to consider, what are the old things God wants us to throw out? Ways of avoiding God in our lives or running away from God? Our perception and blaming of people for their mistakes? What are some new things that we should create space for the Lord to give? Forgiveness, reconciliation, a new start, second chances, walking a closer walk with the Lord this new year, living a life of influence to impact our loved ones for Christ. Friends, there is great power when we connect with God. There is great power when your loved one truly comes to know God's heart and desire for them. When Jesus said in verse 5, "I must stay at your house today," Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. I want to tell you, when you really encounter God for yourself, God gives joy and peace. He guides you through the good times and bad times of your lives. You will be full of joy. You will embrace God gladly. Your loved ones who need God, when they really know how God sees them, what God thinks of them, when they encounter God, they will embrace God gladly. So I asked you earlier on, sometimes we like to watch Korean dramas, Mandarin dramas, superhero dramas. But this episode today of Jesus is a really special one. Leonard Sweet, a theologian, says that in a broad sense, the whole Christian story could be captured in just a few stories of the Bible. And one of them, he says, is the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus thought he had to climb high to see Jesus, but Jesus instead came under him and invited Zacchaeus, come down. God came down from the high places to become a man. While we were yet sinners, God sees you. God comes down to be with you. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. God sees, God calls out to us, while we were yet sinners, He reached out to you and to me. Come, let's pray. I just want to take a moment to pray for you and ask you what the Holy Spirit may be speaking to you. As I was praying for you today, I felt that God impressed upon me that He wants to enlarge your heart. He wants to expand the capacity of your heart and enlarge your territory for the things of God in this new year. And there are two ways to do that. Firstly, we do that by giving ourselves totally to the Lord. And as we approach this new year, I believe God wants to call you to a deeper relationship with Him. Would you put the things of the past behind you? Would you stop covering up your deep needs with the things around you? Will you open your heart to the Lord and trust Him and return to Him in a deeper way? It's time to stop having a break from God. It's time to stop having a holiday from the things of God. It's time to stop running away from what God is saying to us. And in this year, as the Lord speaks to us, can we say again to God, God, I want to follow You. I want to come close to You again. And by doing that, that's the first thing that we can do, to have a greater heart for the things of God. And some of you, you're saying, Pastor, I want to draw near to God. I want to put the things of the past behind me. I want to come nearer to God than ever before in this new year. Would you pray for me? I want to pray for you in just a moment. A second way to expand the depth of our heart is to reach out to our loved ones. And some of you, maybe as you were going through listening to today's message, you've already been thinking about loved ones that God brings to mind. And you're crying in your heart, God, could You bless my son? Could You bless my daughter? Could You bless my husband, my wife, my partner, my father, my mother? And God wants to do that. He wants to touch you first. You must set the example. And then the Lord wants to flow through you. And And so if you are saying today, Pastor, I really need the grace and the power to reach out to some of my loved ones, to believe that God will touch them, never to give up hope, that even though they may not have changed for a long time, God is the one that can change the human heart. Pastor, would you pray for this grace? I want to pray for you. So allow me to just pray for you while all heads are bowed, all eyes closed. If you're saying, Pastor, in this year I want to come back to the Lord, to really give myself to Him. Or you're saying, Pastor, pray that I can be a blessing to a loved one that I have in my heart, in my mind right now. I'm just praying that God would touch him. If that's the cry of your heart, can you just, while all heads are bowed, all eyes closed, just lift up your hands where you are, where you're seated. Just lift your hands. Yeah, hold it up high so that I can see it and pray for you. Yes, I see hands. Let me pray for you as you hold your hand up high, as a hand of surrender to the Lord. Father, I want to pray for these hands that are lifted in surrender to the Lord. Lord, you have impressed upon me that you want to enlarge our hearts. You want to expand our hearts in our territory. So I pray for these whose hands are lifted to you in surrender. You will enlarge our hearts. You will enlarge our territory. As we come back to you to surrender the things of the past and come to you in a new season, Lord, meet with these, your children. Meet with them face to face. Encounter them in a way they never encountered before in 2019, that the atmosphere of the spiritual things over their lives would change so tremendously. Bless them. And for those who have upon their hearts the burden for unsaved loved ones, Lord, you anoint them in these relationships. You give them a hope that will not leave them, that you give them eyes to see with your eyes. You give them words of wisdom, hands of love to reach out at the right moments. Windows of opportunities will fall upon their laps. They never even asked for, they never even looked for. It just came upon them and they will know with a certainty God has opened this window. I pray that they will step through with faith, with love, and trust you for the results, that you will do your part as they do their part. Father, you bless them, anoint them. Oh God, for these my brothers and sisters, enlarge our hearts, enlarge our tents, enlarge our inheritance for this year 2019. In Jesus' name, amen.